song. That's a powerful song. It's difficult to sing in the midst of difficulty, but God still wants to hear you sing. And you know, each of those ladies there have had a certain level of difficulty in their life. They may be in it now, I don't know, but it's good to hear that testimony that God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing around you. And that's a wonderful song. Thank you for singing that song tonight. Psalm 127, and we're going to read this chapter. We'll continue in our study in just really studying a place called home, desiring to have such a place in each and every one of our families, more than just a house, but a home, a place where we can enjoy love and joy and peace and happiness. It's a place that exists that we can have in our lives. And so we've been taking a break from this for the last couple of weeks just due to different circumstances, whether guest preacher or the cantata last week for the kids to play. And so we'll preach along these lines tonight, and I trust that the message will be a help and a blessing to you. Verse number 1 of chapter 127 says this: "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but thou shalt speak with the enemies in the gate." The Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And so we want to preach along those lines tonight. And tonight I want to preach on this thought, the demise in the biblical home. The demise in the biblical home. The word demise means the end or the failure of something. And I want to try to think about that along those lines. Why are we seeing the biblical home become non-existent today? It's happening more and more. Homes that once pleased the Lord, they're becoming extinct. And so I want to preach along those lines for a few moments tonight. Our Father, we pray that you would please bless the reading of your word. God, I pray that you would please, Lord, fill me with your power. I need your touch. I need your help. Lord, in and of myself, I will fail you. So, Lord, I yield myself to you. Please make me a vessel tonight that you can use. And God, I pray that you'd empty of myself and fill me with you. God, I pray that you give your people ears to hear. And God, I pray that you'd, help us to have homes that please you, godly homes, homes that we place an emphasis upon your word, and Lord, just trying to please you and live our lives, Lord, that the way that you want us to live. And God, I pray that you'd help us to recognize, Lord, some of the reasons for the demise of a biblical family. Would you please bless, Lord, tonight the altar as well, Lord, as the invitation is given, or may decisions be made that would please you, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, the word demise means the end or failure of something. And although I don't like being gloomy, that's just the state of where a lot of people are at, a lot of families. They are where they once desired to please the Lord and to honor the Lord with their house because of the devil and that he is real. Many times it's just becoming less and less important to please God with your family. Families who place a great emphasis on God and the things of God are quickly becoming extinct. And my goal with this series over the last several weeks, if we've looked at the devotion and the discipline and the dress, we've looked at so many different aspects of the biblical home, a place called home. My goal is to encourage you in this day that we can still have a place called home. We can still have a biblical family in 2024. It doesn't have to be extinct in our lives. We can experience that if we'll follow the truth from the Word of God. And I'm interested in that. I have kids of my own, young girls of my own that are still of the raising age. I want to experience that in my own home. I don't have finished products, so I'm interested very much so in what the Bible has to say so that I can be blessed in my old age with girls that want to raise their family and continue on down the line. And that's really what it's all about. Listen, God's given us a perfect book. Inside this perfect book is the formula, if you will, of a biblical family. And to be honest with you, if the formula, though, is not followed, then we'll be sure to fail. We're seeing the demise of the biblical family. And I can't help but ask the question, why is that? If God's given us a perfect book, if God's given us a church that preaches the truth, the truth that God gives us in His Word, if God has given us those things in our life, why are we seeing the demise, the end, the failure of something in 2024? I hate the devil, and he's real. He's real and he's active. He's ever walking about seeking whom he may devour. And his job, his goal, his determination is to destroy each and every one of our homes. Just this week, I was going to get an oil change, and I got a phone call from an assistant pastor in a distant state, and he was nearly in tears. And I had heard this, but he said, Brother Jonathan, he said, you may have heard. He said, but my dad, who also pastored in a different state, had to resign because of sin. And he said, all I knew is that I had to call Jonathan Robertson because he may understand. And I said, man, you don't necessarily have to call me. I said, but that just tells me the devil's real. He's working all around the world trying to seek who he can devour. And if he can get a man of God, the pastor that's pastored for a number of years, if he can get other good men down, listen, hey, who are we to think that he can't get us? We're deceived to think that we can take on the devil, that we can handle him, that we're big enough, that we're spiritual enough. Listen, better than us have fallen. And I would be careful to place blame on somebody else. I was brokenhearted for that young assistant pastor. And I prayed with him, and I tried to help him as much as I can, but at the end of the day, it just reminded me the devil's real. And he's working, and he wants to work in distant states, but he wants to work right here to destroy your family. He wants to do it in your home. And if we don't wake up, if we just continue to coast along and just go along and act like everything's okay, then before long he'll slip in, and before you know it, you too will be on the slick slope of sin and devastation. Let me give you a few reasons why I think, from the Word of God, there's a demise in the biblical home. What's the reason? What causes this? Several things. Number one, the personalities that influence us. The personalities that influence us. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Please turn your Bibles there. I want you to see this with your own eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. I want you to look at verse number 14. I've said all along that the Word of God has an answer to all of your questions. But we've got to be willing to accept the answer. In verse number 14 of chapter 6 of the book of 2 Corinthians, the Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." The question is posed that we ought to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Whether you realize it or not, we all have the possibility of being influenced. Influence is a powerful thing. And by the things we see, by the things we hear, by the things we watch, by the things that by the fellowship we engage in, we are being influenced on a daily basis. And there are personalities who influence us and have helped to bring about the demise of the biblical family. I believe one of them is the wicked ones of Hollywood. The wicked ones of Hollywood are those that seek to entertain you, but also influence you. And to be honest with you, we as saved folks, there ain't much that we can engage in and watch it. It's a lot of wicked garbage. Wicked garbage on the TV. And wicked garbage even on commercials. They slip it in before on your children's shows. And if you're not careful, your child will be exposed to something at a very young age that really you shouldn't have to explain to them. You shouldn't have to. But when you just allow them to just wander through YouTube and wander through their streaming device on your TV, or just let them entertain themselves on the TV, chances are you're going to have some hard explanations to do for your children. Just through commercials. Hollywood, the wicked ones of Hollywood, like to influence us. They like to influence us in the way we dress. Modesty has become a thing of the past, and we're more interested in learning how we can expose more of ourselves rather than being the right example in our dress. I preached on this in depth several weeks ago, and If you weren't here, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. But it just reminded me again that they desire to influence in the way we dress. Listen, dress is so vitally important. It's more important than just comfort and convenience. And there's greater issues at stake, and I defined those several weeks ago, but one being gender identity. That's so vitally important in 2024. If there was no other reason to obey the Word of God, gender identity. I want to identify as a man. If you're a lady, I hope you want to identify as a lady. Gender identity is a big topic of reason why you should desire to dress modesty. Modesty, Christianity, all of those should be the forefront of our focus in determining what we should put on. Hollywood stars, overpaid athletes, and social media influencers should not be the ones determining what I'm going to put on. Should not be the case. God commands His children to be ye holy, for I am holy. He says to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. He says that you're a peculiar people. You know what peculiar means? You're going to be different. You're not going to be the same. There's going to be a difference if you're a child of God and you're going to obey His word. He says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says to be separate from the world. And the biblical family is on the decline because we allow the wicked ones of Hollywood to determine our dress. Let me give you another second thought of the wicked ones of Hollywood. They influence us because they determine the dialect we use. The wicked ones of Hollywood, they want to try to control what comes out of our mouth. And to be honest with you, children of God sometimes get caught talking about things, maybe not with their mouth, but with their fingers, liking things or even commenting on things that they have no business doing. Using language that is not Christ-honoring is not good for the child of God. You know, ultimately, you know what the reason some of that slips out of our mouth is because we hear it so much on the TV, we hear it on the internet, we hear it on YouTube, we hear it, and we become desensitized to it. The Bible has much to say about our words. I preached along these lines on Wednesday night. Our speech should be that which is always becoming of Christ, not of this world. We should talk like a child of God. We should be aware of laughing or even entertaining being a part of an inappropriate conversation. Come on now. Sitting around work and somebody tells a dirty joke, you ought to be careful laughing at that just to fit in. You're a peculiar person. So peculiarity breeds difference. You're going to be different. You find somebody talking something inappropriate at work, it's time for children of God to speak up. Listen, we got to get out of the presence of cussing. Amen. It's still a sin. And listen, I understand you get saved. Man, you are trying to clean up your talk and something may slip out. I'm not talking about that. You're trying to clean up. But you ought to make it a practice to make, man, I said that, God, please forgive me. I want to clean that up. Every single time it happens, man, if you're in the presence of somebody, apologize for it. Get out of that situation where you're listening to that cussing, that vulgar talk. It's time for Christians to stand up and say, I don't want to hear that anymore. Amen. Just the other day, I got invited to go pheasant hunting with a man here in town, and we were going to go with a game warden down in Sullivan. And I told him, I said, man, I said, we're going with the enemy. I don't know if I can go game hunting with the game warden. And but it ended up being all right. We go down to Sullivan, Illinois, and the game warden, he used to work around here, and now he got transferred down there, and he's the sergeant of this state park. And it was the first day, I guess, or the first time this state property, like Muskootin out here had been hunted for pheasant. And so it was supposed to be really good, and I was glad to get the invitation. So I go, And we're hunting along there, and all of a sudden, apparently the guy that I was with from town here, he had let the game warden know that I was a preacher. And so we're there, and all of a sudden the game warden, man, something happened, and he said a foul word, and he immediately said, oh, man, I forgot I was with the preacher today. He said, I apologize for that. I didn't even have to say a word. But I thanked him and I said, man, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Listen, it was just, he was conscious. He knew I didn't want to hear it, but he didn't want to say it around me. You realize if you just speak up and open your mouth and try to stop fitting in all the time, just stop trying to fit in all the time and make it being accepted by everybody and just say, hey, I don't really like hearing that. Most people will say, I want to respect that. I'm going to respect that. I've been around people, man, they have a foul mouth, and as soon as I get in their presence, they can clean it up. They know how to stop that. But you got to speak up. The reason those around us talk so freely and it's common to hear foul language everywhere we go is because Christians have been silent for far too long. The wicked ones of Hollywood, they influence our dress, they influence our dialect, they influence the decisions we make. They do. That's why they're called social media influencers. They encourage you to buy certain things that you don't need because they say that it makes their life better. They also influence the way that you think. It's mighty funny to me that somebody can be raised in a good, godly, conservative home, and just because they get around their wrong influence, before you know it, they're voting blue. It happens all the time. It's all about who you're listening to. Who's got your ear? And you allow just to be entertained and influenced, and you take in and take in and take in. Before long, you start thinking like a liberal. God help you. You're obviously not thinking like the Word of God. So the wicked ones of Hollywood, they are ones that influence us, personalities that influence us, but also another one that can influence you is this, the wayward of the house of God. There are those that once were faithful, fruit children of God that desired to have a biblical home, but for some reason or another, they walked away from the house of God, walked away from His Word, and they'll try to influence you for wrong as well. They'll influence your worship. They'll make it seem like that it's not so important to be faithful to every church service. I heard something this week that I tried not to hear, but I heard it. Man, that church, if you're not careful, they'll occupy every day of the week. Your point. And it's not the church. Listen, this is the Christian life. I mean, the Christian life. You may have a life outside of church, but this is my life. Amen. That's right. I love being around God's people. I love to be at church with them. I like to fish with them. I like to hunt with them. I like to go golfing with them. This is my crowd. What are you talking about? Well, what are you talking about? I'll dominate every night of your week. Friend, two nights a week is not dominating your life. 3 hours in the work week, 168 hours in the week, 3 hours, that's not dominating your life. I'm pretty sure we can look at your life and see that TV and food and everything else is dominating your life. They'll influence your worship. And say, it's not that important to be at every service. Listen, there's always a reason. Always a reason to not be faithful. And you know, if I can't help but wonder, if some miss church like they miss the house of God, or if some miss work like they miss the house of God, you'd be getting a pink slip. If your children miss school like some miss the house of God, they would be expelled. Right? Maybe not in 2024, but when I was in school, I would be out. I mean, I know we're all acceptance now, but I would be expelled. Listen, at the end of the day, we do what we want to do. We do what we want to do. And your worship will always be influenced by wayward saints of God. If you keep up those relationships, they'll influence you. I could talk about ones that would sit in these same pews. They'll influence you if you engage in that conversation. They'll influence your worship. They'll also influence your walk. Your fellowship and your walk with God will all but cease to exist if you entertain the wayward saint of God. Your prayer life will cease. You know what the wayward saint of God says? I don't need to read my Bible every day. I don't have to pray every day to be spiritual. I don't have to be a part of that men's texting group. No, you don't. You don't. But why wouldn't you? We must be careful of the wayward saint of God to influence me for wrong. I can promise you that in that men's texting group, they're influencing me more for right than wrong. The wayward saint of God, they'll influence our worship. They'll influence our walk. They'll influence our witness. Be honest with you, you get around the wrong crowd before long, you're not interested in being a gospel witness to anybody. And they'll say that it's not so important to give out a gospel tract. It's not so important to be at a soul-winning time. And ultimately, all they're doing is just downplaying what you think is important and what the Bible teaches is important. We're talking about all areas of the Christian life. When you get around the wrong influence, they're just, if anything, just knocking down little layers that you've tried to build up in your family. So, church, I'm saying you've got to be careful of who influences you. You've got to be careful of who your kids listen to. There's personalities that desire to influence us. But let me give you another reason that I believe we can see the demise, the decline, a ending of the biblical family, and that is the problems that involve us. The Bible says in Job 14:1, man that's born of woman is few days and full of trouble. I believe what Job was saying is, hey, trouble is going to come your way. Ecclesiastes 2:23 says, for all his days are sorrow, travail, grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. Life is filled with problems. Life is filled with difficult times. And so many good families have been hindered because problems come in their life. Several problems that I want to mention to you. First of all, financial problems. Financial problems. You say, well, that ain't really that big of an issue. It's more of an issue than you realize. More of an issue than you realize. Many financial problems could be avoided by simply following God's plan for our money. Be honest with you, I'm not preaching on money, but many times we expect the very God that we rob to provide and bless us as well. That's not going to work. I've told this to folks that ever asked me for advice about this. You've got to put yourself first in the place of blessing. You've got to first put yourself in the place of blessing when it comes to money, and that is to be obey God and what He has asked for us to do. And that is in our tithes and our offerings. And those that fail to give as the Lord instructed in His Word have a curse upon their finances. And ultimately, that explains why they can't ever seem to catch any ground. And they're like, man, I can never seem to just catch any ground, never make any ground in my finances. It could be because you just live under a curse. I mean, we either believe the Bible or we don't. And God's Word is true or it's false, and He teaches us in His Word that He wants us to obey Him in our giving. Listen, God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your money. But He knows the best way for a child of God to live is to be obedient to His Word. And what His Word tells us is to obey Him in this area. There's also financial problems and mishandling finances. God's blessed us with a certain level of income or wealth, and ultimately it's important for you to live on a budget. Amen. Live on a budget. If you don't have the money, don't buy something. It's so simple. Don't be just frivolous in your spending. Our world is raising a generation that doesn't have the proper value, don't understand the proper value of a dollar, and they just, man, they get it and it's gone. You don't have to live that way. It's amazing if you'll just write down your income and then your expenses and you spend your money on paper, there's normally a lot left over. That just gets wasted. Might as well roll down your window and throw it out the window. I tell you what, next time, actually, let's write it down. You give me half, I'll give you half back, and you'll come ahead. That's a good financial plan right there, huh? Just wasteful in spending. Can I say this? Parents, teach your children the value of a dollar. Let them earn some money doing something. I mean, it ain't got to be much, but you ought to teach them the value of a dollar. And then let them go spend a little bit. Let them save a little bit, but let them give a little bit. That's important. We've tried to teach that to our girls already, and they understand money comes into their life. A little bit of that goes to the Lord. 10% is the same across the board. You teach that to your kids, and then they have the joy at the end of the year when those financial reports come out. Gracelyn Robertson has her own little name on there. Why? Because she put in a little envelope, wrote her tithe, and put it in there. That's a pretty neat thing to have, isn't it? And all that's doing is teaching your kids. If you'll teach them that at a young age, it becomes far easier when they actually get a job. You ought to teach them the value of a dollar, how to manage finances. And listen, if you don't know how, there's no shame in that. Find somebody that does and ask their advice. That's okay to do. Everything that I have learned about finances, I've sought out. I've sought out that information. I've bought books. I've listened to podcasts. I've followed shows. And I've learned a little bit. Amen. You can do the same thing. It's important to do so. Why? Because I believe God teaches that in His Word. How to manage finances. It's so vitally important. We wonder why sometimes God's work is limited in getting accomplished. Could it be that we stretch ourselves so thin that we can't give like we truly wish we could? But yet if we just really get down and we try to just have a plan and we try to get debt paid off and we try to, man, we could give the way the Lord wants us to. How fun would it be to write a check and give money away? I mean, that would be so much fun. Carry a little cash in your pocket and God lays a need on your heart. Somebody else has a need and you just walk over and shake their hand and give them a crusty $100 bill. That's fun to do. If you've never done it, you ought to try it. It's fun. One of the biggest hindrances in a family. And rightfully so. When there's not enough money at the end of the month, man, it's going to cause friction. It's going to cause frustration. It's going to cause bickering and, well, if you didn't spend so much on that, or if you didn't buy that, if you would work a little bit more, that's what causes it. It creates a wedge in your family. Financial problems. Don't let that be the cause for a decline in your family. Seek out help before it's a problem. The Bible has a lot to say about it. Let me give you this next one, family problems. The Bible says in Matthew 19:5, and said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." Family problems can be viewed in several different ways, but when there are problems in the family, it'll demise the biblical family. Several reasons for family problems. One, I believe, is lack of communication. I read a recent survey. It said this, that the average family spends less than 10 minutes conversing with one another each day. 10 minutes. And we're like the most connected generation ever. 10 minutes? 10 minutes talking to one another? Husbands and wives, there must be communication in the relationship if the relationship is going to flourish. But many times what we cause ourselves doing, what we find ourselves doing, is we wake up and we just literally run our schedule. There's never any interest in their life. We're busy from the time we get up to the time we go to bed with all of the schedule from the family to the kids to the church and to the job to the extracurricular activities. We're just so busy that there's never any time to just converse. Husbands, you must allow your wife to share her burdens and her problems. Wives, your husband is interested or wants you interested in his interest. I love Leah, and she's She tries to be interested in my interest. She could care less about a deer. She could care less about fish. But anytime I go, she wants to know how I did. And normally she wants to see a picture. Now my girls, I got them, okay? They want to know, they want to touch it, or they want to kiss it. I got them won over. But ladies, you may make her say, you know, how did it go? And when they're always not catching nothing or always not killing something, you might want to stop asking them. Listen, the devil is looking for any way that he can to get into your marriage. And if he can get couples to stop conversating, he's got a wedge. He's got a wedge. To be honest with you, what a miserable existence if you don't enjoy each other's company. Right? Sitting on the couch, talking to each other, man, that's a wonderful thing. Enjoying each other's hobbies and interest. Lack of communication. If he can get inside of your home, he'll do so by lack of communication. He'll also do it from a loss of compassion. You ought to spend time loving your spouse. Brother Delaney taught us in Sunday school that you ought to kiss your spouse often. Amen. He even used he gave us a description, Mr. Delaney, to just like lay them down and put one on them. I wrote this down. It's an impossibility to argue and kiss at the same time. That's good. That's good preaching right there. Let me say this. Recognize the needs of your spouse and fulfill them. You'll be better able to recognize their needs if you will talk to them. Lost some compassion. But also another wedge the devil will use is lawlessness of children. Listen, if there's a problem that seems to be commonplace in the home, and that is unruly children. And it creates family problems. Because ultimately, here's what happens. Parents, they fail to get their children under control, so they create this mental state where they're angry because their children don't behave, and ultimately it's because they fail to correct them. Children must have boundaries. Yeah. Got to have boundaries. Sure. And mom and daddy, it's up to you to create the boundaries. God has given you a wife. He's given you a husband. You're on the same team. Amen. If you're not, you're playing offense and defense, that's not God's plan. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You're on the same team. So guess what? You get to make the rules. And you ought to make the rules. The rules for children have to be defined. And when you define them, you lay them out for your child. You make sure they're so simple a little child can even understand that, hey, you do this, it warrants discipline. It warrants correction. And when they fail to obey, discipline must be exercised. When children are unruly, it causes problems in the biblical family, and it will begin the demise. It's important, church. Unruly children. You ought to try your best to follow what the Word of God says about defining boundaries for your children and disciplining them when they disobey. It's so vitally important. And I understand there's a lot of young children in here, a lot of young children in our church, and I love that. But they have to be taught. They have to be trained. It's your job. It's not your Sunday school teacher's job. It's not my job. It's not Pastor Cameron's job. It is your job. It's your job to teach your children and to train them and to discipline them. And to be honest with you, sometimes our children's workers, they want to throw their hands up because your children are disobedient and you don't recognize it. Come on now. That's the truth. They want to throw their hands up because you don't recognize it and you're not disciplining them when they disobey. And so define the rules and enforce the discipline. It's simple. And you'll begin to see your child will begin to respond to that discipline. Amen. They do. And to be honest with you, hey, this is something good for us all to do a reality check on. Because if we think we got it all together, chances are we don't. You think you got it all together and you're ready to just teach others on this as well? Chances are you're not. Have a reality check. Ho, how's my kids? And I'm not asking you to put these three girls over here on display. They're human beings. We're still in the training process ourselves. But just as you would watch my girls, I'm watching yours. Let's check up on this, church. Let's define the rules of our home, and when our children disobey, we need to discipline them, and then we need to teach them what's the right way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you fail to do so, it will create a wedge in your family. Your wife will get fed up, your husband may get fed up, and they say, what's the use? I don't want to go to church, man. The kids are always bad. No. Kids go with you. You don't go what the kids want to do. So don't let that be a wedge. Don't let that be a demise in the family. I got to quit here. Let me go quickly. I'm just going to give them to you. Friend problems. That's another thing. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. There's a problem that involves many families, and it's friend problems. It goes for children, but it goes for teenagers as well as adults. It goes with influence. Sadly, many adults think they can handle friends that don't believe like them, live like them. They think they can handle that balance, and friend, you can't. What's the text say we just read? Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unbelievers? What are you going to talk about? You have little in common. We must protect ourselves and our children from negative influences. And lastly tonight, we see what causes the demise, the personalities that influence us, the problems that involve us, but lastly is the powers that invade us. Ultimately, if you've made the decision to have a family that honors God and His Word, the devil's going to do everything in his power to destroy that family unit. You have a target on your back. And so what's he do? First of all, he tries to cause division. The Bible says in Mark 3:25, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And that's why God's given us an order for the home. If the home's out of order, then division is guaranteed. The parents must be in unity regarding the authority in the home. Brother Laney taught us that again today. There's a word for each individual in the home. The word for wives is submit. The words for husbands is to love. The words for children is to obey. Unity cannot reign when chaos rules. A home where there are no boundaries is a home that is bound for division. And a home where God is not the center is a home that's bound for division. And the only way that God can be the center in any home is if He's the center of each individual life. That's so why it's important for daddy to walk with God, mama to walk with God, children to walk with God. Amen. The devil will try to cause division. He'll try to cause deceitfulness. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart. Deceit will bring about the demise in the biblical family. When there is there's not any trust. Husbands and wives must be careful to never keep any secrets. That's right. Open book policy. Your wife ought to know how to get on your phone. Your husband ought to know how to get on your phone. Open book. Ought to be nothing to hide. Remember, you're a team. You're one. You say, well, that's my space. No. That's causing the demise. Be honest with you, you ought to not allow your children to have secrets. That's your house. That's your room. They're renting that space for a time. And they're past due on rent, most of them. No secrets. Because if you let them get away with the secret on the small thing, what are they going to do in the big thing? They're going to hide it from you. Open book policy in your house. Let me give you the last thing tonight. And I didn't go to Scripture for all of this, and there is Scripture for all of this, though. It causes devastation. He'll try to cause devastation. There's examples all throughout the Word of God. I could take you to Achan. I could take you to David. I could take you to Lot. I could take you to people that you would probably know, where they started out okay, but because of sin, their life has now experienced devastation. Ultimately, the devil is real, and he wants to wreak havoc on our families. No one wakes up one day to destroy their family, yet it happens every single day because we allow sin into our lives. The Bible says this in James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You're one bad decision away from breaking your spouse's heart. You're one wrong decision from asking for visitation rights for your children. And I want you to be aware that there are powers that invade us and that will bring about a demise in your family. The devil loves the fact that there's so much attention that gets good families on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. I mean, why is it that Sunday has become the day for sporting events, fishing tournaments, family reunions? There's always, 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 always a reason to not come to church, a reason to not read your Bible, a reason not to pray, a reason not to give, a reason not to be a soul winner. There's always a reason, but there is a greater reason to do those things, and that is a biblical family. A place called home. A Christ-honoring, biblical family is the reason enough to put in place the biblical guidelines of raising children, of the husband I'm supposed to be, of being the wife I'm supposed to be. You're supposed to be, not me. Being the grandparent you're supposed to be. A place called home. A place of peace, a place of love, a place of joy, a place of happiness. I want that for my family. I want that for your families. I want that for your families, that place called home. But sadly, the devil has gotten some. And if we're not aware of him, he can get yours as well. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Church, I'm sending out the warning tonight, if anything, of just beware that there are those around us that was once trying to live just like we're trying to live, but because of one thing or another, whether it's the personality that influenced them or the problem that invaded them or the powers that invade us, one reason or another, they have had a demise, an end to their biblical family. May that not be our testimony here at First Baptist Church. May we have strong marriages, strong families that desire to please the Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, thank you for listening tonight.